guiding through the songs that and I'm going to get used to that rhythm again, amen. And I was trying to get some breath, to be honest with you, on the last one, so I apologize before we sing that next stanza. All right, well, church, want to thank God for those of you that are here today. It sure is a blessing to see you guys come to church. And, of course, we know the world is honoring mothers today. And we had Sister Dina so graciously bless some of our mothers here today with some flowers out of her heart. Man, that is a blessing. So we want to thank God for Sister Dina. So hopefully if Sister Maribel comes soon, we'll be able to bless her with those roses as well. And so praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Sister Dina, for wanting to bless the church with that. That is an awesome blessing. So for those of you that are listening in via the Podbean app, we are located here in Oceanside, California, Symbol Faith Baptist Church. You can click on the hyperlink. It'll redirect you to our website. For visual, you can click on the YouTube or Facebook church page. And for those of you guys that are watching online, you guys already know where we're at. We want to invite you. Come on by one of these days. Come and physically fellowship with us. All of our service times are located here online, as you guys can see. And that's what you can come by and meet us anytime. If you want to meet, you can just contact our church website, and somebody will answer that phone and help to pass along the message to me, or you can email directly, and all the information is there. Okay, so a couple of announcements today. Want to let you guys know for the ministry opportunities for evangelism. Next Thursday, we will be doing our Every Other Thursday outreach at the Sunset Market. So this Thursday, we will be going down there for an hour. So if you're able to come with us from 6 to 7, that sure would be a blessing. Please let me know. And then, of course, Saturday, we will be resuming our door-knocking and public evangelism outreach. So if you can join us for that, that sure would be a blessing as well. Amen. And then we're praying about when we will have time to go on our mission trip. We look forward to trying to go sometime soon. Amen. So just keep that in prayer for the church down there in Ensenada that we support. And, of course, prayer. If you have any prayer requests, we want to encourage our church and anybody that is watching online to submit a prayer request right here. And that way you'll be able to get prayer. Amen. We're nobody special, but we just believe God, and we are a part of His family. And so if we pray, we know that He'll hear it. Amen. According to His will. And so you guys can go ahead and submit your prayer request right here on our online website. Amen. You're going to just move that there. There we go. And then last couple of announcements, live stream link. Again, we want to encourage you, if you have a smartphone, please download the Podbean app. It's free. And then look up the Podbean. And that way you can listen to our messages in an MP3 format, not necessarily video. You can put it as a background program on your phone so you can close it. You can listen to the preaching while you're driving, working, whatever you're doing, working out, cutting wood, whatever you want to do. You can listen to the preaching and teaching from church here. So go ahead and show some love through the Podbean app. You can find our Podbean channel, Symbol Faith Baptist Church. We have a live stream and then also the channel. Next, Facebook. If you have a Facebook, please show some love. Subscribe and like our church there, and then share our messages. And then lastly, YouTube. You can subscribe, like, and then share those messages as well. And then last but not least, of course, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful. And whatever you financially prepare and purpose within your heart to be obedient in your financial giving as unto God, to the local church here, if this is your home church. And I want to thank God that He has met our need thus far. We've been able to pay our church rent, and next week we'll be able to send our mission support to those missionaries that we do support. And for some of you who donated an extra gift, I'll let you know personally that they received that as well this coming week. Amen. So praise God for that. Again, between you and God, we have the box back there, or you can do so online as well. Amen. All right. And as you guys know, as I've been announcing it to you for what is happening today, it's a special day for my wife and I. We're going to be publicly presented to the church down there in Chula Vista underneath the ministry of Pastor Melito Barrera. It's going to be an amazing time. They've been praying for us, and we've been praying as well for the direction and the move for the God's blessing upon my life personally and spiritually. And I want to thank God for that opportunity, and I'm looking forward to enjoying that opportunity today. And I also let some of our church members know. I'm pretty sure they're on their way, but I know that Sister Eileen wanted to go with us, Sister Raphael. So my wife's in contact with Eileen to see what's going on there. And but again, I just want to extend that invite to you. If you're unable to make it, that's totally fine. You don't have to. It's totally fine. Just pray for us. It's just going to be a blessing. They're gonna just love on us and pray for us. And if you will, kind of adopt our little church under their ministry to just show love and an extension of spiritual leadership, guidance, and support for the future and by the grace of God. So tonight, that's where my wife and I will be going down after service. We're going to be leaving about 3:30 to 3:45 to get down there. And their service starts at 5 and it ends at 6. And at the end, that's when they're going to announce us and present us. And it's going to be awesome. So if you can, just pray for us. If you'd like to volunteer, go down there. Hey, that'd be a blessing to you. I'll cover your gas. As you guys know, I offered that last time. And we're looking forward to that as well. It's going to be an amazing day today. And again, thank God for those of you who are praying for Katie's safe return. She got back safe last night and she enjoyed the surprise. Amen. And she enjoyed that Mexicano food last night and this morning. That was a blessing there. Amen. All right, church. Well, with that said, let's go ahead and continue in our Bible study here. As you guys know, we've been taking a doctrinal a series of a topical teaching that we are doing as basic Christian doctrines. And I'm approaching this from the spirit that, again, let's just say for those of you who just got saved, okay, some of you are babes in the faith. Some of you are super young in the faith. So I become a Christian, now what? Or what's next? That's kind of the theme, if you will. That's kind of the spirit of the direction that we're moving. And so we can't expect babies to become adults overnight, as it's been said before, and I completely agree with that. So in other words, as you attend a church, and yes, we're teaching a Bible book, we want to go verse by verse and teach you a book of the Bible and all the expository, all the deep doctrine, there's some basic stuff that we should still cover as a church family. So that way, as a newborn in the Lord, then you're going to be able to grow with some baby food to learn, okay, what are some things that I should start working on now? In other words, Brother Carlos, before I get to understand all the prophecy and all that, you know, other doctrine, what do I need to do now as a Christian? What are some basic things? And today's topic, we're going to finish with part two, Christian dress. Christian dress. And so last Sunday, I got some positive feedback from those who were here, and it was a blessing, and I'm glad the Word of God is working on some of the members here. I'm glad that it's having an effect upon their life. And so today, we're going to conclude. Now, today, it's going to be a little bit more unique, amen? So I really need you to prepare your heart. As I was studying this message yesterday, preparing it, again, it just continues to work on my heart, and it continues to work on mine eyes specifically, because those of us men in the house, you'll see why as we study the Word today. When you step out back into that world of unbelief and out there, those who are still unsaved, they're underneath the power of the prince of the air. We know that. We know what Ephesians 2 says. They're going to live and dress as their culture tells them it's okay. Their imagination says it's okay. And today we're going to talk about nakedness. Nakedness. How does God define mankind as it pertains to them being naked? What are some things that the Bible discusses that could come off as someone that is naked? And so we're going to talk about men and women. I'm not just going to heavy lean on women, even though generally we know out there in the world, I'm not talking about the Christian women in our church. You guys are very, very modest, and I appreciate that. But I'm just saying, when you go back out there, amen, we're trying to reach them. There's a balance. Yes, we're trying to love on them. We're not necessarily going to just come down on them because they're not dressing according to the commandments. No, they're not saved. They don't know better. We know better. I'm talking about the Christian who knows better, the Christian girl or the Christian guy who says, hey, I've been saved for 3 years and 5 years, 10 years, and you know, they're still dressing a little cray-cray. You would expect some maturity to go up. And so in other words, as we begin to teach you some basic stuff and feeding you that baby food, have an open heart. And like I told you last week when we started the series, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Word of God is going to have an effect when you believe it. So again, as we move forward, if anybody gets convicted because of the Bible, just know I'm not talking about anybody individually. I'm not looking at you and saying no. This is Bible study, Bible message preparation. If it begins to work on your conscience and it begins to work on your heart, let God have his way. And then align yourself and then you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Amen. All right. First verse of the day as we get back in the Bible train, Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles together. Deuteronomy chapter number 22. And as we prepare ourselves for this ending today's part about dress, this is going to be a pretty unique verse. And remember, let me remind our church about what God told us Christians, even though we are not Jews under the law in the land of promise, to govern our physical lives, right, to prosper us. For those of you who've been coming to our Friday night discipleship classes, you've been learning how the law dealt with Jews and how it promised them longer life. We know that. Romans 15:4 says that whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So when we go, bless you, when we go into the Old Testament, just remember, it's going to teach us, if you want to learn how to please God, it's going to teach us if you want to learn how to obey God. And we can follow after the example that God had back there in those days and for us Christians today. Amen. Is the AC okay, guys? Everything good? Yes, feel okay, good. All right. If it gets a little unique, just right up here, okay, guys? Don't be shy right now. Okay. If y'all are ready, let's do this. Deuteronomy chapter number 22. What are we talking about? Christian dress. This is the first verse we're going to start to begin the way. Amen. Verse number 5. Let's go ahead and read the verse and then we'll pray. Bible says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word today. I ask and pray, God, that today the Holy Spirit would continue to help me to minister and teach today's teaching clearly, patiently. And I pray, God, most of all, that the members of this church and the hearers of this church would have a heart to patiently and receive and learn today's teaching, God, that it'll have an effect upon our lives for men and women so we can learn how to please you more as children of God. So, Father, please remove me out of your way. Forgive me of any sin or sins which I've committed against your spirit. Help me to be a vessel that is pure, meet for the master's use, so that, God, today you can use me, you can speak through me, but most of all from the word to bring an edification, a learning to our church members today so we can be a light to the world around us. I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5. Once again, we'll repeat it. "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Notice, church, did God say there in Deuteronomy 22, verse number 5, "For solely the Jews that do so"? Is that what it said? What did it say, brothers? All. So now I know some of you are already thinking, "Whoa, man, that's kind of hardcore. What about all the Americans around us today? What about all the Mexicanos that are around us today? What about all the Africanos and the Chinese?" And you know, I understand. That's why as we continue to approach the Word of God, this is the Creator's standards. This is the Creator's expectant will for His creatures to follow after. But we know that He's given creatures free will. Well, how much the more so those of us as Christians should we honor God? So as we move forward and as we think about the way we dress as Christians, just know there are clothing that clearly identifies a female. There are clothing that clearly identifies a male. I am not here to tell you how to dress. Let me repeat that again. I am not here to tell you how to dress. The only thing that I can ask you in this church setting in our gathering is to dress in a modest form that is not going to stumble your brother or sister from lusting. That's my point. I think we can all reasonably agree, hey, let's make sure that when I come to church and I'm hanging out with my Christians, I ain't exposing myself. I'm not going to do it in a manner that is going to cause somebody to stumble. But when you go back out in there into the world, you have free will. I just want you to know, the way you dress, God expects of us to dress in such a manner that identifies ourselves. I'm a man. I'm clearly dressing as a man. Female sisters, hey, that's a woman. You're not dressing as a man. And you guys know, we're not. I'm not going to talk about the transgenders and all that stuff. We're not talking about all that. But clearly, their lifestyles, that's what they're doing. You understand? So according to God, that is an abomination. We're not even talking about homosexuality, right? We're not even talking about transgenderism and all that. We're just saying that's if they're clothing like that, that's a sin. And for some of you may say, well, what about those Christian actors in movies? What about if they put on the clothing of a female to portray a female character and they're a male? They are effeminate, all right? I'll tell that brother straight up, bro, hey, man, what are you doing, dude? Don't be trying to make money by dressing as a woman. God told you not to do that right here in verse number 5. And so, yes, I understand. So remember, as we move forward, we talked about the word coat from the Bible. I told you guys that the various forms of that word and coat or coats 39 times in 34 verses in our King James Bible. We saw the first mention of it in Genesis 3. When the Lord God made coats of skins, he clothed naked Adam and Eve. Remember, he made a covering for their what? Nakedness. Let's go back there to Genesis 3 quickly. You don't have to turn there. Just look up to the projector because we're going to go to Exodus 28 next. Genesis 3, remember, the purpose for God clothing the man and the woman was to cover their nakedness. You see there in verse number 21. He clothed them. And so when we see from the get-go how God clothed Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness, that upper garment with the coat, whatever material it be made of, the word is, in modern times, generally applied to the garment worn by men and women over a vest or a petticoat for infants. But as we move forward, I'm going to show you how God explained to the people of Israel how he wanted the priests to wear certain clothing to cover their nakedness. And then we're going to bring Christian application before we close today's sermon. So next, let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter number 28. Okay, from Exodus chapter 28, church, all the way through the Bible book of Leviticus, and there are multiple verses mentions that we're going to discuss. I'm not going to get into a lot of them specifically, but I just wanted to give you the general idea. As you guys can see here, Exodus, etc. Here we have the different parts and clothing that God had set apart for the Levitical priesthood. And how the priests were to dress. They were to wear particular garments and they were to wear particular clothing that would cover their nakedness. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. And I just wanted to show you, if you guys wanted to study this on your own, you can read Exodus 28 all the way through Leviticus 16. Generally, in these particular chapters, that's where you're going to find the interesting laws for the priests from the Old Testament times on how God expected for those folks to dress and to cover themselves. But the first mention that we're going to discuss here on this topic, let's go back to Exodus chapter number 28. Oh, we're in 28. Let's go down to verse 39 through 43. 39 through 43. Here's the law that God gave Moses to command the children of Israel that the Levites should dress in a certain manner with certain clothing, certain fabric, if you will, because it was for them to wear, to put on during their ministration for the work of God, the service of God. Okay, so it says, starting here in verse number 39, thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. For Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and beauty. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So remember, as they administered the laws of God on behalf of the Israelites before God, they had to put on that uniform, if you will. You understand? They had to put on that clothing. Verse number 42, thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their what? Nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. Ladies, pay attention to that word thighs. We're going to come back to y'all in a minute, okay? We're going to come back to y'all in a minute. Verse number 43, they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come unto the tabernacle of the congregation or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place. They bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after them. So again, what am I showing you? Just general principle scriptures about the Levitical priesthood. God talks about the coats that were to be worn by the Levitical priesthood along with girdles, robes, and bonnets so that they would minister unto him in the tabernacle. Next, let's go to Leviticus chapter 16, just to give you another scripture reference here, Leviticus 16. And let's read together here, church, starting verse number 4. Leviticus 16, verse number 4. The Bible says, speaking of the Levite priests, he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. What is the picture that I want to begin to put upon the hearts of you today as Christians? I know that the clothes you guys buy at H&M, it's not necessarily holy. I know the clothes we get at Walmart, there's nothing special about this fabric. But I want you to understand the purpose to why God had these priests dress in such a manner while they were ministering to him. I think you guys get my point. When we come to church and we're gathered with fellow Christians, we too, in like manner, in the principle and in spirit, we should consider what we put on, how we dress, while ministering to God and ministering to his people in such a manner that would be acceptable before him and acceptable before others. You say, Brother Carlos, are you going to give us approval? No. That's why I told you earlier. I can't do that for you, especially for those of your husbands. Your wife is underneath your power, 1 Corinthians 7. They're going to have to be guided by you in that area. I already gave you my illustration of my wife. All I can say for all of us generally, dress in such a manner that is modest, that will not stumble a brother or sister. And I think you know that. But before we end today's study, you're going to see a lot more notations, a lot more verses to kind of help you with more guidance from the authority of the Word of God. And now I can only give you that principle. Are you with me? So remember, think about that while you're serving God. When I dress and I come to church, I should do so with that spirit of honoring my God, loving my brotherhood, in a way that they're not going to stumble at me. I don't want no attention to me. I want attention to God, and I want to do it in a manner that will bring glory to him, but that it will cover my what? Nakedness. That's what we're talking about. We need to cover our nakedness, church, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we continue. Talking about nakedness, the various forms of the word naked or nakedness found in your King James Bible is 104 times in 87 verses. The first mention was back there in Genesis. We already know that. Genesis 2:25 and Genesis 3:7 through 11 concerning Adam and Eve. We know that. But do you guys know, church, that it's a shame to see a man's nakedness? Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Again, let me preface for some of you guys who came in later tonight. This message, I am not speaking about anybody individually. This is the study from God's word. If it begins to work on your heart, if it begins to bring a conviction upon your spirit, let God have his way in your life and just, you know, rearrange the way you do certain things and then honor the Lord. It's going to be all good. As I illustrated before, my wife, as we both are maturing as young Christians, it was pretty difficult for us to be like, wow, we shouldn't do that anymore. We shouldn't dress like this anymore. But man, I'm honoring God and it's cool now. We have a peaceful conscience. We know we're not doing it in such a manner that's going to cause somebody to stumble. Now look at here in Genesis chapter 9. What just happened? The flood just took place. Remember that. We have Noah, and he has his three boys. Unfortunately, Noah got drunk. He planted a little vineyard, got a little buzzed. He passes out naked in his tent. Look at what God records concerning one of his boys. Looking at it, are you ready? The Bible says here in verse number 21, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now, before we continue to verse 23, stop right there. Some of you may say, what's the big deal? I mean, you know, he just saw his dad naked. It's not like he... Now let's keep reading. Let's see why God said that's a big deal. Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward. Why didn't the young brother do that? Why did their other brothers decided to not look at their father's nakedness and the young brother didn't? Watch. Keep reading. And their face were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Whoa! We don't know what he did. God didn't put the details in there. You're going to listen to all these preachers give you what their illustration is. It's not a big deal. They're going to, you know, try to explain to you what happened. I can't add to it. We're not specifically told what the younger son did unto him, but God told us here clearly it's a negative connotation. Something took place when that boy went in there. I don't know what he did. We don't know what he did. But what's the point? It is a negative connotation. It is not positive to see your father's nakedness. It is not positive to see your mother's nakedness as well. Who wants to see an interesting note? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Interesting note? Exodus 20. Just look up to the projector. I'm going to show you this. And if you want to make your way to the next verse, let's go ahead and go down to Exodus chapter 32. You can get there. But let me show you this interesting verse in Exodus chapter 20, verses 24 through 26. Here's an interesting note. God, Israel. Remember that. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it out of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Isn't that unique? Don't walk up, lest your nakedness is exposed. So that's how God defines it. Are you with me? That's an interesting command that I found concerning that for the nation of Israel. Nakedness. It's not a positive thing. And again, as we talk about it in the Christian sense, we know as well. Okay, let's go to Exodus 32. For those of you who are there, Exodus chapter number 32. Look at in Exodus chapter number 32. Let's go down here to verse number. Let's go down here to verse number. Well, let's read from verse number 1. The Bible says here in verse number 1 of Exodus 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. So what's going on? Remember the story. Moses went to the top of the Mount Sinai. He's talking with God. God has given him the laws of God. And they know that his glory is up there, but the people become impatient. And Moses' brother, Aaron, he's down there and he's outnumbered. Joshua, he's a faithful soldier. He is, if you will, Pastor Moses' right-hand man. He's waiting on him. He's up there too. And all of a sudden, the people begin to become impatient. They want to create a God after their image. They want to honor God according to their standards, even though in Exodus 28, they agreed with God. They agreed with his laws. They said, we'll do whatever he says. Just within a short amount of time, they began to begin, you know, crazy, if you will. They began to want to party and get drunk and watch what happens. Let's keep reading the story. Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break up the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. So he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Aaron saw it. He built an altar before it. Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. What were they playing? They weren't playing soccer, Brother Giovanni. They weren't playing football, Brother Felipe. They were doing something else. Meanwhile, who's up on the mountain? The Lord and Moses. So the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. How? Not just the idolatry. Keep reading. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf and worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord saw what they started doing, and God got angry. He got so mad, church, he wanted to destroy all of them, and he wanted to bless Moses. But Moses, humble man, he besought the Lord. I'm just paraphrasing it for the sake of time. He asked the Lord, Lord, are you really going to do that? You redeem these people. You're the one that adopted these people unto yourself. You bless these people. What about the Egyptians? What are they going to say? That you brought them out here for nothing and you just wanted to kill them? I'm just paraphrasing it. Don't you remember, God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise you gave? And after Moses interceded on behalf of Israel, which is a type of Christ, the Lord repented of the evil. He changed his mind. So Moses turned. He went down from the mount. He has the laws. He has the Ten Commandments. Imagine now with me in the back of your mind, he's walking down the mountain. And so when Joshua heard the noise of the people, they shouted. He said unto Moses, there's a noise of war. So Joshua, he's waiting for Moses. He's pumped up. He's like, man, what's going on down there? He said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery. Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing. So they're singing. They're singing. They're partying, they're playing, they're worshiping this idol. It came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, And Moses' anger waxed hot. He cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. He took the calf, which they had made, burnt it in the fire, ground it to powder, strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses said unto Aaron, what you doing, fool? No, that's the Brother Carlos version commentary, but essentially verse 21, he's asking him, what did you do? Aaron says, man, this is what they wanted. They wanted me to make this God for them. I'm paraphrasing it for you. Nevertheless, let's keep coming down here. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, that's what their playing was about. Aaron made them naked for their shame among their enemies, etc., etc. What's the point? Here's the principal lesson from this one. The people of Israel had become impatient. They were waiting for Moses to return from the Mount Sinai with God, receiving the laws. And they individually began to imagine wicked things within themselves. They began to want to party, dance, become naked, commit idolatry. And it wasn't long after their, if you will, agreement with God back there in Exodus 28. We just read where God was speaking to the children of Israel from the top of the mountain. His presence was burning on that mountain. And they told Moses, Moses, why don't you talk to God? Because we are afraid. We don't want to die. Their heart, church, began to wander back to the worldliness of Egypt, which is a type of the world. And as they began to wander back to the olden days and the way they used to dress and the way they used to talk and the way they used to drink, well, it seems like God isn't doing nothing for me now, so it might not be a bad thing. Are you with me? They began to party it up. What's my point? Many, many lessons for us Christians today. We get saved. We have a childlike faith in the beginning of our conversion. But then as time progresses, the devil will continue to tempt you and make you think it's okay to go back to the old lifestyle. It's okay to drink just a little bit again over here, brother. It's okay to keep dressing like this over here, sister, you know, like the way the girls used to do back in the day. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, what did it tell you? You can just look up to the projector. When God was giving us the examples of how he judged the Israelites for Christian warnings, he said in verse number 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And look at that one verse we just read, remember, about how they sat down to eat and drink and arose up to play? Nakedness. You saw it. They were naked. Remember how I said it's a shame to see the nakedness of each other? Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 18. It's a shame to see your father's nakedness. It's a shame to see your mother's nakedness, not only because of conscience sake and necessarily, I'm not talking about for those of you who are parents and your babies. We're not talking about that. We're talking about cognitively conscience. You understand what I'm saying? The laws of God that he gave the nation of Israel were very clear. I'm not going to read through all the verses, but you can read it on your own time. Leviticus chapter 18, read verse 6 all the way through 19. I'm going to read a few because he pretty much repeats it and other little, you know, applications. But here it is. He says here, verse number 6, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. Do you see there? It's a purposeful intent to want to see the nakedness of a family member. Don't do it, he tells the Jews. The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. You wouldn't think that God would have to tell people then. But again, what do we have in our hearts? Sin. Genesis 6, it's from the youth up, and God is trying to make this people unto himself a peculiar people. He's trying to make these, the group of the Hebrews, a light to the rest of the world, the nations, the Gentiles. Because the Gentile nations, what are they doing? They perhaps may have been doing these things. He says in verse 8, the nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. You see, so the sister, you see here, the father, thy son's daughter, thy daughter's daughter, etc. Go all the way throughout, and you're going to see how God tells these Hebrews, don't uncover that person's nakedness. It is a sin. If you do, he tells them, look at here, in verse number, I'm not sure where it's at here, but there is a command that God will take him out if they were to do that. Remember, the people that wanted to do that again was because they remembered the way they used to live in Egypt. Remember that in verse number 3? So as we learn these principles as Christians, what do I want to remind you of? You knew the type of person you were before you got saved. You knew how you dressed. You knew how you spoke. By the way, that's going to be our next sermon lesson next Sunday, Christian speech. How should we talk as Christians? Is it okay for me to keep cursing? Is it okay for me to keep using bad words? We're going to learn about that. That's why I'm saying these are basic things. But many of us who came out of the world, man, we used to act a certain way. We used to smoke. We used to drink. We used to hang out. And it was cool with those who we were engaged with because that's where their spirit was. So like the Jews, they would wander after Egypt in their heart, and that's why they wanted to do those things. And God warned them, don't do that. Don't go back to the former lifestyle that I brought you out from. I think you guys understand that lesson. What happens if they did, brothers? What happens if that Jew was to uncover the nakedness of their daughter, their family member, their friend, the stranger? They would get taken out. How about that? That's how serious God is about protecting the eyes. Bible's good so far? Okay, all right. Isaiah 47. Let's do this. All right, women, now listen, I love y'all. You're my sisters in Christ. I'm going to encourage you. I'm here to help you the best I can. Felipe, Giovanni, myself, we're husbands. We're going to, you know, in the privacy of our homes, live accordingly. That's not a problem. We're just talking about public gathering. Look at what God says here. We're going to learn about a judgment that God gives the nation of Babylon through the prophet Isaiah. And specifically, we're going to talk about the nakedness of their women, how he would make them naked. I want you to pay close attention to this because as soon as you leave these doors today, church, you're going to see this system all over the world. I saw it all day today from San Diego on my way back here. Ephesians 2, that course of this world, the power of the prince of the air, that unbelieving heart because of the enemy and culture and everything else that is anti-God, they're going to dress the way they want. They're going to put on men's clothing, female clothing. They're going to expose their bodies for what? For the world, because that's how they live. How does he define nakedness? Okay, now let's read together. Verse number 1. So again, as God is going to give a judgment to the nation of Babylon through Isaiah the prophet, here's what he says in verse 1. Come down, sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. So the nation of Babylon, remember, they were a proud people. King Nebuchadnezzar, before he got humbled in Daniel 4, man, he was like, I'm God. Look at this nation. Look at this empire I built. Remember, he was like, there ain't nobody as good as me. I'm just paraphrasing it. So now the Lord's like, I'm going to humble you guys down. Verse number 2. Are y'all ready? Ladies, I love y'all. I'm not judging anybody here individually. But if you found yourself dressing like this, I just want you to take admonishment and learning from the scriptures. That's what we're doing. Look at verse number 2. Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy what? Nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. God's judgment upon Babylon was for their proud heart. You can read that verses 7 through 11 later on your own time. He's judging this nation because they thought they were it. He's judging them for their sorcery, their idolatry, and their nakedness. But did you guys catch that? The exposing of the thigh and the making bare of the leg is described as nakedness. Now, let's come back to Brother Carlos because that's the illustration. Okay, my wife right over here. I heard this message preached from Pastor Melito many, many years ago. We went down there. And again, we knew how we grew up in the world. My old church, they didn't put on these standards upon us. They weren't teaching the Bible like this because, again, it's more tradition. It's more kind of culture. Go with the flow, whatever. But here's a Bible minister teaching us the Word of God just like it is, where it's at. And I'm like, whoa, Katie, man, look at what it says. That's right. If your thighs are being exposed, man, nakedness. I don't want that elevator syndrome to happen anymore. What do you mean by elevator syndrome, Brother Carlos? Y'all ready for this? You saw it? One more time, brothers. That elevator syndrome, it happens to all of us men. When we see a woman who's exposed, Beginning where? The leg area. I know I'm getting real with y'all, but this is what the Bible talks about. What is it going to do to the lust of your eyes? It is going to arouse you. It is going to make you look at that woman, and hence elevator syndrome. Down, up, down, up. You guys get what I'm saying. So women, what am I encouraging you to do? Look at this judgment isn't for you. This is for the nation of Babylon. But what can you take encouragement from the principle, women? If you want to honor your God, and especially if you're married today, you want to honor your husband so that way your body is not being advertised to other men on this planet, cover the thighs. That's it. Cover the thighs. That's all. You see, very reasonable and fair. You want to cover your body in such a way that you will not allow yourself to become a stumbling block to the brothers in the church setting, but how much more the world out there? You with me? So notice, this is a judgment. I'm just telling you the principle, and you can ask Katie. She's going to tell you, you know, like, I'm okay, I'm cool. I'm like, but Katie, come on, I love you. I'm just, and I'm learning this too as a young Christian as well, because I'm like, man, God, I want to preserve my body. I know I want to. You have a quick comment, or can we wait to the end? We'll talk about that to the end, okay? But what's my point? Ladies, sisters, it is a shame to expose your thighs in a manner which exposes your body, because it will appeal to the lust of the eyes of men, the flesh of mankind, and all you're doing is misrepresenting your God when you do so publicly. Privately, married couples, hey, y'all do what you do, boo, in private. That's all good, man. Let it, you know, you do what you want to do. Have a good time. All I'm just trying to tell you, friends, is in public, and especially in the church setting, it is a shame, because what you're doing is you're advertising your body. Now, I'm not saying that that's your intent, because perhaps as a young Christian, you just didn't know no better, and that's fine. That's why I said, church, we're learning. This is baby food. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to say, sister, such and such, you're sinning. No. I'm just telling you, all of us, as we kind of start learning the principle, hey, let's start attempting to make an effort to make an adjustment so we can just be a little bit more modest and holy in our apparel. You guys could be, that's reasonable, amen? For the single woman as well, the way you dress to impress will attract the type of man you seek. If a single Christian woman or a married Christian woman seeks to dress immodestly, what kind of man are you going to get? And a modest man. If you seek to dress modestly, what kind of man do you think you're going to attract? A modest man. In other words, how should a single Christian woman dress to for attraction? You should dress for spiritual attraction. Are you with me? How many of you guys are ready for one more interesting verse before we continue? Anybody? Watch this, Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at this very interesting verse in the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2. What are we talking about? Nakedness. We're trying to make some Christian spiritual application as we learn the lessons from God and his judgments, not only for the nation of Israel, but to the world. Verse number 15. The Bible says here in Habakkuk 2:15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Some of y'all used to go to the club before. Some of y'all used to party with friends. What happened when y'all got drunk? What happened as soon as the intoxication begins to come over the body? All of a sudden, as the book of Proverbs says, you're in a ship, the walls are moving, your sobriety becomes impaired, and all of a sudden the attraction to one another's flesh is going to become a little bit more loose and a little bit more lewd, and all of a sudden you're touching, you're rubbing, and all of a sudden that's why the girl gets knocked up at the club. That's why the guy ends up having a child out of marriage, because as soon as that alcohol gets into the system and you're with an unbeliever, the attraction and the appeal to lust takes over. It's all about trying to see one another's nakedness. You will not be finding no Christian at a bar. Amen. You're going to just find a man who is after that body. Let's just keep it G. And same thing, women, back in those days, maybe your high school days, middle school, because I know some of us are still young. All I'm saying is that the type of men that you thought back in the day and the type of women you thought back in the day, there's only one intention they had, is so that way they can get under that dress. I'm just keeping it G, because God's word is relevant. Look at that. Let me get you drunked up and sobered up so that way we can uncover each other up. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty powerful. So that's interesting verse number two of today's study. All right, as we're coming to a close, church, as we close our part one of our topical series of Christian basics, I'm a Christian now. Now what? On the topic of dress, I've taught you with the help of the Holy Spirit how we should conduct ourselves in the area of clothing. I know generally this is a stronger admonition and warning in love towards the women, but I think it's because of how wicked sin in us men has corrupted our lives to be. And that's why I care so much about wanting to encourage you younger ladies in here today, because of how I know within my heart and within the hearts of all mankind that sin-prone nature to want to move forward in those areas that we should not, obviously. And we all as individuals should have standards to prevent stumbling one another in love. I've heard it said before, ladies, if you're not in business, don't advertise. That's what I've heard said before. That's a very good quote. Allow me to become a little bit more real before we come to a close. Women of God, y'all should not be having no muffin tops showing. Anybody know what that muffin top is, okay? I know. I'm not pointing. I'm just saying. Try not to let your little belly muffin expose anymore, you know what I'm saying? Ladies, try to cover your cleavage, because men, that's the elevator syndrome. It starts from the bottom up, and then you get to the top floor. Boom, it's just going to hang out there for a little bit. That's within all men. I'm just keeping it real with you, church, because this is what we need to talk about to become godlier children. And same thing with us men. Like I told you guys about Peter. Remember how the Bible told us in John 20 how he was fishing? He was naked. He didn't have a shirt on. Men, that's why I tell you about surfing and Sister Dina's comment, going to the beach. Again, these are your own convictions. I'm not going to tell you, hey, Brother Giovanni, according to thou shalt not go to the beach. No, that's not what it says here. All I can give you is the Bible. You're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to find your own conviction. Is it okay? Do I still go to the beach? Would I like to go back? Yeah, I'd love to go back. I go there to witness, as you guys know, on Saturdays. I'd like to go back in the water, but me personally, I'm going to wear a swim surf shirt that covers my body or a wetsuit. I'm going to cover my legs, etc. Women too. The one, you know, I don't know what those, my wife can, I don't know how the, you know, bikini things or whatever, the, you know, obviously not bikinis, that's what I would not, but I'm just saying the bathing suits for women, I obviously would encourage you to cover your, you know what I'm saying, the top end and the bottom end. Let me just keep it like that, okay? In a manner that does not cause folks to go crazy. But again, you're going to have to determine that on your own. I can't tell you. Like I said, I'm not trying to have lordship over you. I'm not going to have domination over you. I just talked to a pastor last week. This pastor is a very renowned pastor, and he has his own convictions. And he was telling me, brother, you know, for example, he doesn't go to the movies and other things of that nature. And I said, that's fine. That's the way the man feels. That's the way he conducts himself. There's nothing, again, we're not going to see specifics on everything of what we should or shouldn't do in life. But you know what it says, and you see the principle. So if you think you're strong enough that you're not going to mess up on God, you're not going to mess up on your wife or your husband, you do you. But if you know the reality that, man, sin is in me, I know if I go down there, it is a lust fest out there. You know what? Maybe I'll just go maybe at a later time when they're not maybe folks as much. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you have a pool. Maybe you can just chill there. Maybe you can, you know, splash yourself with water to get the feeling. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm just keeping it real with you because it's within all of us. Women, dress in a manner to prevent the elevator syndrome. Y'all know what I'm talking about. As Christians, we've become children of God and by faith in the Lord Jesus. Therefore, with all this study, it's time that we start and continue to grow up and mature spiritually. Remember, in love. It takes time, but time will pass. In 5 years, if you don't want to be found on the milk, or 10 years, then obviously there's a problem somewhere. And that ultimately just comes back to the pride in your heart. Let me leave you with a few more verses, and then we'll come to a close. Revelation chapter number 16. This is very interesting. Again, I could say, for example, in this sermon, this is interesting verse number 3. But I find this interesting on the topic of our discussion. Obviously, we know there's a context. We know there's a reason why the Lord spoke about this in the Revelation time frame, if you will, for the future. But look at what he says here in Revelation 16, verse 15. He says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that walketh and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Again, it is a shame for men or women to see your what? Your nakedness. It's a shame. So you want to protect your body. You want to preserve your body. You don't want to advertise. Again, we don't want to stumble anybody. We don't want to expose ourselves in that manner. And lastly, I'll end here, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, let's go ahead and turn there. Remember, it is within my heart to teach the Word of God in love. Notice, I'm not condemning anybody here. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here. All I'm doing is reading the Word of God to all of us because we all need to continue to grow in grace and knowledge. And it's going to take time for babies to grow and to adapt to become mature and stronger, to move on to perfection. But I'll leave you with this verse. In verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So as I taught you today in love, we're going to end today on Christian dress part 2. Let's recap. 1, females, don't wear clothing that pertaineth to men. Men, clearly, don't be putting on a dress, men. Don't be putting on skirts, men. Don't be putting on bras and all that silliness that's effeminate. God is going to judge Christian men who still do that. Obviously, if a homosexual gets saved and he was dressing like that his whole life, it's going to take a while for that dude to get out of it. I understand that. It's a case-by-case scenario. You understand of how we're going to disciple that man or that woman. It's gonna be in grace and love. But nevertheless, the truth must be taught, but in love, okay? Number 2, nakedness. The Bible teaches that it is a shame to view our father's nakedness, our mother's nakedness. None of us should be purposefully attempting or purposefully wanting to attempt to discover the nakedness of our friends, of our family, or people next to us, because that is a shame. Number 3, what did we learn today? For women specifically, on this topic, and then obviously men, what did we learn today? You don't want to expose your legs or your body in such a manner, because that is a shame. It's going to attract the lust of the men that is within their heart all around the earth. That's why I tell you, in our Christian gathering setting, women, I definitely want to encourage you to try your best to put on a nice dress or some type of garment or clothing that is going to be in a manner in such a way that it's not going to cause men to want to look at you purposefully. It's not going to stumble men around you. And also, it's not going to necessarily outline your body board for business. Amen. If you're married, you only got one man to please, and that's the man you're sitting there next to. And that's the, you know what I'm saying? That's advertised all day long, man, in the privacy of your home. But outside of the home, ain't nobody else need to see that. Ain't nobody else need to see that. Women, let's cover the muffin tops. Nobody needs to see muffin tops no more. Put them back in the oven. Amen. And then for us men, nakedness, again, I know all of us men here, we dress in a good fashion. We dress in a reasonable fashion. But again, think about these scriptures that we talk about as far as Christian dress, because knowing that we all don't change overnight, it takes time to change. But now knowing that God does talk about that in the Bible, knowing that God expects for you to grow in the Bible, start making an effort to begin to align yourself so that way you can become stronger in your faith. You can become more of a biblical example to your family and your friends, those around you publicly and in the world. And just keep giving your heart to the Lord and asking him to guide you in your life on those areas of liberty that you do have, on how he wants you to conduct yourself, how he wants you to carry yourself. Amen. So, y'all good? Did y'all receive that today? Y'all heard the word of God today, amen? It takes time. So again, I'm not judging nobody. I'm not looking at nobody. All I'm saying is this is the Bible teaching. So strive to make an effort little by little in your own way to cover yourself and to dress in a modest fashion for both men and women, especially with Christians. Especially, don't stumble the brethren. And then when you all go out in public, however your husband is going to deem fit, right, for those of you who are married, I can only give the men advice, but wives, for those of you who have husbands, They're going to guide you. Your husbands are going to tell you, hey, wife, that's cool for me, but this is going to honor God, and that's going to honor my, hey, that's fine. I'm just telling you, that's the way that God expects of that. It takes time, but I'm telling you, as you guys continue to surrender your heart to the Lord and your mind, your habits, your patterns, dude, the Lord will begin to give you peace. He'll grow you. He'll mature you. He'll strengthen your character so you can be stronger. Amen? So let's go ahead and conclude with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. Lord, I know that some of these truths may be a little convicting for some of our members today as they're young in the faith, Lord, and that's a blessing, God, because, Lord, as you know, a couple years ago, I was there with your daughter Katie, Lord, beginning to learn Christian basics, God, how we should dress, as simple as something as starting with the way I wake up in the morning, how I should present myself to the world. Lord, I thank you, God, that you made it so clear, and I thank you, God, that you've strengthened us now with the Word, the Spirit of God, so we could begin to make those efforts to show ourselves approved before you. For the women here today, I just pray that you'd strengthen them, strengthen heart to remain faithful, Lord, and to dress modestly, God, to please you for anybody that's single, and then for the women to please you and their husbands, and for the husbands to have maturity on how to lead their wives and guide their wives and advise their wives the best they can, Lord, to preserve the beauty of their wives and the bodies of their wives for their own pleasure, Lord. They don't need to let any other man enjoy that woman but themselves, Lord. And so, God, would you continue to teach us as children basics, God, so we can learn from the milk of the Word and, Lord, begin to prepare our hearts for the meat of the Word as we get a hold of these small areas within our life for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. All right, church, well, the Lord bless you. We look forward to the rest of this evening. Like I said, if you're unable to go with us to Chula Vista, just pray for us. It's going to be awesome. And may the Lord bless you. Oh, hey, go ahead.